Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, it's a good morning. It's a good morning already. Hallelujah. I don't know what happened, but somebody must have put something in y'all Wheaties this morning. Hallelujah. Because there's something stirred up in here. Praise God. God's got a good plan for us. He's got good things for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know, when the people congregate together, it's just a blessing to the Lord. It's a blessing to me. Amen. It's a blessing to us to be able to come in with such wonderful people and do this thing. You know, the Word of God is life changing, and I'm so thankful for it. You know, sometimes the Word is bold, and sometimes it's real. If you listen to last night's message, you know that sometimes the, you know, boldness is really there, you know, amen. And last night was probably just about as bold as I've ever gotten in Corey. But, you know, it helps people, though. That boldness will break things off people. And Jesus was bold, and John the Baptist was bold, praise the Lord. Paul was bold, Peter was bold. You know, there are a lot of bold people in Scripture, amen. So we don't want to be afraid of being bold. And if we get our toes stepped down a little bit once in a while, that's okay too. Praise the Lord. But I think today isn't as bold of a message. I'm going to preach it bold just because that's what I try to do. Amen. I want to follow the Lord and do, when I say try, I don't put it on, but I want to follow God in His direction. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you know, my wife was talking about the supernatural. You know, and we have to understand that we serve a supernatural God. You know, and so when you serve a supernatural God, supernatural things happen. And a lot of people be like, well, you know, this is where a lot of people get hung up, is they can't figure out how it'll happen. But see, that's the problem. It's supernatural. You can't figure it out because you think with the natural mind. And if you think with a natural mind, you don't necessarily understand supernatural. Praise the Lord. God doesn't expect you to just understand supernatural. The supernatural is His part. Your part is just trust in Him, amen, and believe in Him at it. And as you trust Him, you see things. You'll see things in your life change. You'll see things that didn't. You'll see favor in areas where you couldn't have ever had favor. Praise the Lord. You know, Reverend Greer this week, he was talking about his when he got released from prison, and you know how they said that it would never happen. You know, and he was talking about how you know the Lord moved on. The Lord spoke to him, and the Lord moved. It was supernatural, amen. And then he got a full pardon to boot on top of it, amen? I mean, it took a few years after that, but they said he'd never get the full pardon. They said, oh, you might get a partial pardon, but you won't get the full pardon. Well, he got the full pardon. Why did he get the full pardon? Because our God is supernatural, amen? Praise the Lord. And so if we try to figure out things just with our natural mind, if we, you know what I mean by natural? I mean the way you think, right? The way you live, just natural speaking. This is natural. You touch yourself. Everybody just poke yourself in the belly right now, real quick. Praise the Lord. That's you. That's natural, amen? Praise the Lord. Supernatural is on the inside. Supernatural is around us. We can't necessarily see supernatural, but supernatural is real and it works. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's what keeps me going. Amen. Because there's days I don't feel like I could do it. Amen. Last night was one of them. Last night I got up to preach and I walked up there thinking, dear Jesus, how am I going to do this? Praise the Lord. I'm telling you right now, I was walking up there with the expectation. I was telling my wife afterwards I was going to quit. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm telling you where I was. Amen. Because that's how I felt. Thank God we don't have to go by how we feel. Amen. Thank God we don't have to continue in life the way we feel. Now, if you do, that's your fault. But we have a supernatural God. And if you serve a supernatural God, then you don't have to go by your feelings. But if you serve your feelings, then you got to go by them. So as long as you serve your feelings, that's what you're going to have is what your feelings produce. Well, I don't know about you, but sometimes my feelings are fickle. My feelings don't always produce the same thing. Sometimes I wake up and my feelings are producing something that they weren't producing the day before, and I don't like what it's producing. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. But that's why we got to stir ourselves up in the supernatural. Well, what's supernatural? The word supernatural. Amen. Right. It's written naturally. It's written by natural men. Praise the Lord. Supernaturally. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why? Because God wanted to include us in this process. Right. And aren't you glad? Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad. Well, that's all free, no charge. Amen. Well, today's message is called Seek to Find. Amen. You know, so just so much recently, the Lord has just been dealing with my heart about a few things. But one of them, very strongly, is about seeking Him. And it's just been on my heart so much to seek Him. And not just for me, but for people, that His people need to seek Him more. And the importance of seeking Him. Amen. And truly seeking Him. Not just like coming to church. not just reading your Bible, not just praying once in a while. I'm not talking about just doing those things, but I'm talking about really seeking God. Finding out, you know, when you seek something, when you're interested in something and you're seeking it out, you really dig in, don't you? You really find out, you know, I keep giving this vision in my head of little kids playing sneaks in the yard. You ever do that when you were growing up? We call it sneaks, hide and seek, you know. We used to do it at nighttime. We'd have, you know, tons of kids running around the neighborhood, praise the Lord. And, you know, they would be they would be diligently seeking, you know, someone else. The one who was it was diligently seeking. Well, we could just be it today, okay? We'll be it, amen. We'll just pretend that we're it for the sake of argument. And we're diligently seeking the one that we got to tag, amen? And that one is God. And so we're going to look for him under rocks. We're going to look for him in trees. We're going to look for him in bushes. We're going to look for him in garbage cans. We'll just look for God wherever we can find him, amen? Because we're hungry for God, amen? And you know, seeking, it first begins in your mind. It first begins in your thoughts and in what you're filling yourself with, you know? And this almost happened by accident. But you know, I just spend my life just living my life, and I'm driving around doing whatever. And you know, as I'm doing that, I find myself thinking about God all the time. I find myself just searching God out, like, you know, is God in this? Is God in that? Thinking about situations, thinking about just life in general, thinking about the Word, thinking about church, thinking about just God and how he interacts with us and all the things that he wants to do. You know, that's seeking God out. You just start at a level. Most of you are here today because you're seeking God, if you realize it or not. You want to know more about God. And see, the wonderful thing about God is we serve a tangible God, a God who will invade our space, a God who will reveal himself to us. You know what I love? This is what religion will tell you. You have to obey a bunch of rules. Yeah. Religion will tell you, you got to follow this rule and that rule, and there's no real reason why you got to do these things and those things. And you don't really understand why you do it, but that's what religion teaches us. What the Bible teaches us is that we can seek God out and have a relationship with him. Amen? You know what I love about relationships, a good relationship, is it's good. It's enjoyable. Amen? My wife and I, if my wife and I lived together, dwelled together the way most Christians view God, we would have a miserable existence, wouldn't we? You know what I'm saying? Well, if I just thought, well, she got these rules for me and I got these rules for her and this is all we do and there's no joy, there's no happiness. You know, the Bible tells us in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. The fullness of joy. What's joy? Praise the Lord. We should know what joy is, right? How many religions have you seen, stale religions, where there's no joy on the face? You know, joy includes smiles. If you're in a religion that won't put joy and a smile on your face, well, there's something wrong with that. Now, I'm not saying that everything is always going to feel good. But what I'm saying is that the in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. Amen. If your religion does not bring you to joy, then you're in a false religion. Amen? Amen? Why? Because God is one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. Amen. Love, joy. These things are peace. These things are exciting, right? These things are what everybody's searching. I'll tell you what right now. Everybody in the world is searching after a few things. And those few things are in the all fruits of the Spirit that you get just following God. I don't know why you won't let me get preaching here, but we'll get into the sermon one day. Praise the Lord. If it ain't today, maybe it'll be later today. I don't know. Praise the Lord. But you understand, we got to get to that place. We need to seek God out. We need to seek that joy out. I am done with having religion that all it does is remove from people. Listen, religion or truth of the Word of God, it will take things out of your life. It will challenge you and make you come up higher and do things that maybe you didn't want to do or change things that you didn't want to change. But that's okay, because the end of those things is joy. The end of those, the fruit that comes out at the end, amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, why don't you turn with me? We're going to start in Matthew 6. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're talking about God here today, seeking him out. If you're here today, you're here because you're seeking God on some level. Yeah. So you just might as well find him. I mean, if that's what you're looking for, you might as well just get there, right? Well, who wants to do a search? Who wants to go out there? Can you imagine going out and playing hide and seek by yourself? How hard would that be? And how much fun would that be? You know, after a little bit, I bet you'd say to yourself, you know what, self, this is just pointless. I'm trying to find, I'm right here. I know where I'm at. Praise the Lord. I'm looking for something I can't find. No, see, God wants us to find him. God wants us to know him. Well, let's just think about it in natural human terms. I mean, we'll just bring it back down to where we're at, right? Natural human terms. Praise the Lord. If you desired somebody, if you desired somebody to be with you, would you want to hide so hard that they couldn't find you? Would you want to make it so hard on them that they would never get to know you? Praise the Lord. What do? You know what people do? They expose themselves in the natural world. Yeah, they do things in the natural world to make sure somebody finds them. I mean, expose yourselves. Amen. That's what I'm talking about, exposing yourself. People expose themselves all the time. Yeah, well, why else would we wear? Why else would we wear things that draw people in? You know what I'm saying? Why do you wear perfume or cologne? Is it for yourself, right? Because after if you squirt it on yourself, the one thing I don't like about smelling good is that after you smell good, if you wear something for a while, you don't smell it anymore. You know, the same thing with candles in the house. You don't smell it anymore. You don't smell your smell all the time. Praise the Lord. That's why when my wife first met me, when she first came into my house, I thought I was doing good. She could have told you by her nose that I wasn't doing so good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I cleaned that apartment 3 times before she came over. 3 times I cleaned it. I mean, cleaned it, and I said, no, I got to do this again. So I did it again. And then I said, no, I better do this again because she's coming over. And she still told me it was horrible. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. How do I get on that? Yeah, well, why do we do that? We do things to draw people in. You know, if you're in the courting stages, you're gonna wear clothes that in the natural, I'm talking about. I'm saying Christians need to have some control over things, right? But they'll wear clothes. You'll wear clothes that will draw people in. You'll do your hair a way that you think that somebody wants to see it. Amen. You do things. Well, God's doing the same thing. Amen. God's done the same thing with us. He has created a world to draw us in. He's created an existence to bring us to him. God has created life to call out to us. Everything on this planet is meant to show us and point us towards God. In the beginning of Romans, it tells us that the entire creation speaks of our God. You look around and you can just get to know your God just by looking around. I'm not saying go worship the trees and go worship the grass. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You could hug a tree. I did that down in Gatlinburg, praise the Lord. But y'all ain't going to see the picture. Amen. It was a joke just meant for something else, but my mom saw it. Don't talk to her, but she ain't going to show you. She won't be allowed back here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we're not at, we can get God by, I used to, I do woodworking. I like to woodwork. And I when I have time, I would have I had a shop set up at one point, and I would, I used to like to plane boards down, And it was so interesting to me when I was making, I would get these boards and I would make little like jewelry boxes and stuff. And as I was planing those boards down, it was so interesting to me how every single pass, the picture on that wood changed, amen? And I would stop at the place. I would watch it carefully because I would want to stop at the place where it was showing just when it got to where I just couldn't imagine it being any better. Or when it get to the place where I was just like, oh, I don't want to go any further because I wouldn't want to ruin this picture, Then I'd plane the other side if I needed to still go down further. But my point is every time I did that, I thought about how creative, how wonderful our Father, Heavenly Father was. He saw every layer of that board, every tree that's out there. He knows every layer, every grain pattern, every pretty thing about every tree that ever existed. God knows it. And he put it in there for us to find it. Praise the Lord. And you know why he did that? Because when we can look at those things and we can look at our God, we can think about our God and we can go, wow. He wants us to find him. He wants us to seek him. He wants us to seek to find. He wants us to be sure. He wants to put so much stuff around us that at the end of the day, the only thing we can do is go praise God. Looking up to him, praise the Lord. Glory to God. This is our God. Aren't you excited about that? Amen. Oh man, it just stirs me up. Praise the Lord. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, of course, we know this is Jesus talking, and he was talking from the standpoint of people not worrying about things, telling people, don't worry about all the stuff of life. What do people do? They're worriers. This whole world is built around worry. You know, you hear about securities and you hear about investments and you hear about planning for your future. And, you know, you don't get insurance. Insurance is one of the hugest industries probably in the world. And you don't, it's all built around worry. It's all built around the idea that at some point you might need something that you can't take care of. Isn't that interesting? Our whole life is built around it. Why do we watch the news? Why do we watch the weather? Generally because we're concerned. We want to know what it's all about, worry. Now, I mean, some worry you understand from the standpoint. I mean, we have to use common sense, right? Obviously, we want to look at the weather and stuff like that. But people are always concerned. Everything in people's lives are concerned about something that they can't control. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, don't worry about any of this. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All your needs. God promised to take care of us through it all. Doesn't matter what it looks like. You know, the Fredonia Church is a great example. We all know that burnt, and it was pretty much, except for the main structure of the building, it was pretty much a total loss. They have to redo everything. You know, about a year or a year and a half ago, the Lord started dealing with Pastor Michael and said, increase the insurance, increase the insurance, increase the insurance. So much so that he increased the insurance. The Spirit of God dealt with him on that. Now, how he had no idea. He would never think, why would I need to do that? To a lot of people, that would sound like a waste. But see, when the Spirit of God directs you, see, that's exactly what this is talking about. Pastor Michael seeks first the kingdom of God. And as a result, he directed him. He showed him things to come, just as the Bible said he would. The Holy Spirit's job is to show us things to come. And so he didn't give him all the details. He didn't say your building's going to burn, did he? But he said increase. And you know what? Because of the way that they increase the insurance and the way everything is going to work out, that building is going to be better than what they could have done to it before. It's better. They're going to have air conditioning, which they didn't have. They're going to have better materials, things that were, you know, we're going to need updated, probably occasionally, won't need it anymore, because they're going to be able to go in and make it better than what it was. And glory to God, there's going to be no more pews. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because you know them Pentecostals, they don't like to preach for just 15 minutes. It ain't a few minutes and then done, amen? We go on for sometimes a couple hours. And when we do that, you know, the rear end, if you're sitting on a pew, pews weren't made for people who preach long. I'm just going to tell you. I'm just telling you, amen? We had padded chairs, hallelujah. See, but this is, and then, of course, all the free advertisement that came out about it. Everybody knows about the town and the bondages that were broken and all these things. See, God knows ahead of time. He knows the beginning or the end from the beginning. And he'll help us find there. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all those things will be added to you. See, that's the thing. God's promised us an answer to every problem. He's given us promise, great and precious promises. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of promises in the Bible. Praise the Lord. And God said they're all yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Yes and amen. They all belong to us. Every promise. Well, if that ain't enough to just put a smile on your face today, I don't know what is. If you can walk out of here knowing one thing, that if you seek God, he wants to fill you up to overflowing. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, somebody was talking to me about waste the other day. They're like, well, I just don't like to waste that. You know, the Bible says in Luke 6:38, it says that, it tells us that if you give, it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. And I said to that person, I can't even remember who I was talking to, but I said to that person, I was like, you know what running over is? Running over is waste. Amen. If you have a waitress come up to your table and she pouring up your coffee and she spills some over onto the table, I don't care how good the coffee is, you ain't going to lap it up like a dog, are you? No, you're going to take a clean or a napkin, you're going to clean it up and you're going to throw it away. It's running over. God isn't afraid of running over. Our lives should be a reflection of our Heavenly Father, which is a running over God, amen? Praise the Lord. You know how many trees grow? You know how many beautiful trees grow in the field or in the woods? They'll grow and die and nobody ever sees them. They rot in the ground and they've never... those beautiful grain patterns, God didn't just hold them for the ones that are going to get used. He put it in every single tree. Every oak tree that exists has the same wood in it, praise the Lord, but different patterns, a different fingerprint, every single one. And some people will never see them. Do you know there's trees that people will never even, there's blades of grass that people, there's flowers people don't even have any idea exists. Do you understand that? God is a running over God. His creation tells us about him. I don't know why I can't get going in this, but praise the Lord. This is something that we need, amen? See, I don't preach my iPad off. Hallelujah. God is he's an overflowing, increase. God is so, I mean, everything that he has created is magnificence. So why do Christians live in less than that? He gave us, he made us his special people. He separated us and said, you're so special that I'm going to give everything for you. He gave us his son. No greater thing could he give us. He gave us his son. And yet, why do Christians live in less than that? It's because they don't seek God. It's because of the scripture. They don't follow the words of the scripture. Jesus in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Praise the Lord. Listen, seeking first the kingdom of God is not a sad thing. It's not an under, you know, walking this walk is not it's not a hard thing in the sense of following God is hard, or there's going to be opposition, which in the opposition can be hard, but there's opposition anyways. Amen. I'll just tell you what, I had less victory in the world than I do in Jesus. And I know that for a fact, so I'm just going to keep going on. I'm going to press through the opposition. The opposition doesn't change. The outcome through the opposition does. I said the opposition doesn't change. God did not promise to free us from opposition. You understand that, right? You understand that Jesus said you were going to face trial. Some of the trials you face are going to be even because you became a Christian. Yeah. Some of them just because the devil wants to ruin you. Praise the Lord, it's the truth. But the victory that we experience is something different if we don't faint and lose heart. Amen? Praise God, hallelujah. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You know, God didn't say don't recognize your needs. But what he said is you can recognize your need and then move on from it. But what people do, and I'm sure that there's many of us here, include myself in this, there's many of us here today that have a need, and we focus on the need. You're thinking about the need right now. As you came in, there was something that was probably eating at you in the back of your mind. As you drove here, there was something, there's some need that you have that hasn't met yet that you're focused on. And see, Jesus said, don't focus on that stuff. Why? Because I'll take care of it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. He said, I'll take care of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. When Jesus says he'll take care of it, he'll take care of it. You know, if there's something that's, and we judge God a lot of times by people. If there's something that isn't, there's something that probably annoys me more than anything is when somebody tells me they'll do something and then they don't do it. And I've been that person too. I've been that person who hasn't come through. But guess what? Humans will fail you. People will fail you. You don't base your faith on people. You don't base your faith on what other people do. You base it on God and his faithfulness. Amen? Praise the Lord. But here's the thing we have to understand. You know, seeking God and believing him for stuff is good, and we should. And we should believe God to increase us and get us to a place of blessing. All that stuff is good, and it's something, but it shouldn't be our focus. Right. You know, a question I want to present to you is, when you've come to church, when you've come to God, are you seeking God or are you seeking what he can do for you? See, a lot of times people come into church, and rightfully so, they'll come in seeking God to help them. But listen, folks, if we stay there, there's something wrong. We can't stay in that place of just, God, what can you give me? Because that's selfish. Amen? God promised that we'd give it to us. And the reason he promises it was so we wouldn't question it. So we wouldn't have to question it. So we wouldn't have to worry about it. But as our focus remains on what God's going to do for us, or as soon as we've gotten what we've got from God, we lose interest, then we're not truly seeking God. And this is why so many of his people go without. God's people go without, not because, his Bible says that they're destroyed for a lack of knowledge, amen? Because they have ignorance towards the things of God, amen? Praise the Lord. Last night I talked about change. Oh, glory to God, you need to listen to that message. Partly because I thought it was for you at first, but it was for them. But it's on Facebook Live, yeah, amen. But you need to hear that about change. The reason that so many people come into the church, and this does go along with today's message, but the reason so many people come into the church and at first they see God move, and then all of a sudden it seems like he doesn't, and they fall away again, is because they never changed. They never realized the change that God has for them. See, God is not okay with us being where we're at. He's okay with us coming in as we are, but then he wants to do something in us, amen? And part of that will come from seeking God. You will know what to change by seeking God, by looking to God, by learning about God, by learning the way he works. Amen? Well, I was thinking about this morning. You know, there's people that like to say, you know, this book, it's subject to interpretation. You know, you have all these different religions. I was studying a little bit about one of the pseudo-Christian cults, the Jehovah's Witness, you know, and I was reading about their crazy, crazy beliefs. Oh my God, their crazy beliefs, the things they believe. They're nuts. They're nutty. But they are. They believe Jesus was an angel. You know that. They believe Jesus was Archangel Michael. Well, I believe he's God. Praise the Lord, but I don't know about you, but I was reading about this stuff, and I was saying, what was I talking about? Yes, you don't know. Oh yeah, subject. Thank you. Subject for interpretation. You know, there's so many, and the question comes up. Really, there's people that get confused out in the world. How do I know what to trust? How do I know what to believe? Well, my foundation is the rock, Jesus Christ. My foundation is here. This book is proven over and over and over again. You know, all these other religions, they come about at some point. But my religion is based on the Word of God. But what I've found in life is that people say that this book is subject to interpretation are one of two things. They are either ignorant, they don't know what the Bible says, or number two, they don't like what the Bible says. It's one of those two things. If you think that this book is subject to interpretation, you either don't know what it says or you don't like what it says. Because this Bible is very direct. It tells us very specifically. But sometimes people don't like it. Sometimes people don't like what it says. Listen, people don't like it when you tell them that fornication is against God and it can send you to hell. People don't like it when you say homosexuality is against God and it can send you to hell. They don't like it. But that's what the Bible says. And it doesn't send you to hell because God's mad at you and God hates you. It sends people to hell because it separates you from God. These things. Thieving, stealing, praise the Lord. It's the same thing. Lying, liars go to hell. Praise the Lord. That's what the Bible says. So if you practice these things, you better be careful, amen? You know, people don't like that, and so what they'll do often is because it doesn't match up with their lifestyle, they'll twist it and they'll turn it, or they'll just reject it altogether so they can continue living in their ignorance. But God doesn't accept that as truth, amen? And so that's why we get denominations, because somebody held to tradition. Oh, I read a lot of stuff. I'm not even going to get it in, can't get in there today, about worshiping God. You know, I was studying some of this stuff out recently. People don't even know what worship, true worship really is. They think worship is the songs we sing before. Yeah, that's a form of worship, but that's not what worship is. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to get on that because they'll just take me somewhere else. Praise the Lord. And I haven't got very far. Are you seeking the Lord? Or are you seeking what he can give you? It's one thing to come in that way, but it's another thing to stay there. Praise God. Then there are those kinds of people that come into church and they want to be entertained. That's what they come for. They expect to be entertained. Amen? They come to church and they expect, well, I want the good music and I want the things, I want the light show and I want things to be just such a way and I want it according to what I say. I. Listen, if you start having opinions about stuff, it just tells you where that focus is going. Yeah. Isn't focused on God. When you start having opinions in church, you ain't focused on God, you're focused on you. Why? How can I say it? Because you're focused on your opinion. If you think it should be this way, well, what's the difference between how you think it should be and Sister Bucketmouth that sits next to you, and she thinks it should be a certain way? Listen, if we go by our opinions, we're going to have pretty screwy churches, aren't we? Aren't we? I'm going to tell you, I had different opinions when I came into this church. It is not by what I think. It is not according to how I think. It is not according to what I want. I do not have church the way I would have always had church. Amen? Praise the Lord. There was a day when we would, if we were having church the way I wanted a church, yeah, because I believed in God back in those days, we'd be sitting here in flip-flops and cut-off jeans and probably some weird shirt with long, goofy hair, not washed or anything like that, sitting here passing joints back and forth. I'm just telling you the truth. That's exactly the way we'd be having church if I had it the way I wanted it back in the day. Yeah, I'm talking about not now. I mean, praise the Lord. I mean, I suppose I could have church that way now and probably have a pretty good-sized church that way, but I ain't going to have God. I'll just tell you right now, if we start advertising that we're passing doobies around and we're sitting here in flip-flops and cut-off shorts and we're doing anything, oh, I'm just going to tell you the truth. We'll fill this place, praise the Lord. We'll have to build a bigger building. But if that's the case, nobody's going to be doing anything. Because you know how it is when those pot smokers, they smoke some weed and then they're out for a while. They don't do anything else. They just kind of sit around, praise the Lord, contemplating their navel. Hallelujah. But we want the truth of the word, amen? The truth isn't always what we like. It isn't always, you know, my opinion was different. I remember, I think back to some of the foolish things. God just gave me, you know, I don't remember everything, but God has allowed me, he's given me the ability to remember some really stupid things. He really has. And when I mean stupid things, I don't mean stupid things that he's done, but stupid things that I've done. I have these flashes of memory in my life throughout my life, and I think, man, I said that. I remember some things from when I was a little kid, stupid things I did or said, praise the Lord. But one of them, I remember when I came into church, and I remember coming into church, and I was there for a few weeks. I was back for a few weeks, you know, after being backslidden and lost and all this stuff. And I was going to tell the pastor all about what I thought. You know what I mean? I just start sharing my opinion. Well, we should do this, or we should do that. You know what we should have? We should have one of these, or we should have one of those. Oh, that's the way I was. Praise the Lord. Keep your opinions to yourself. It don't matter to God. God ain't consulting you. Praise the Lord. I did not take a popular opinion poll in Mayville to find out what kind of church to build. I asked God. I don't care what the people here thought. I don't care what you think. I love you. I appreciate you. Hey, I like to hang out with you, eat hot dogs with you. I like to even sit down and have a coffee with you. I like to talk back and forth. But I don't really care what you think about it. You know what I'm saying? Because we don't do church according to the way we think. I don't do church according to the way I think. I haven't decided to do these things just because I wanted to do them. You understand what I mean? Yeah, I mean, God didn't know. I didn't seek the Holy Spirit on what color to paint the sanctuary. Praise the Lord. But he did give us, my wife and I, a mind to be able to see things that we can, oh, this will look good together, and so that's what we did. And if you don't think it looks good, well, God didn't give you the same mind. Hallelujah. He gave you a rotten mind. Rotten, stinky mind. I'm just kidding. He didn't do. But you understand, well, some people, you know, some people real proud. I remember people would present like a drawing to me because I was an artist. You know, people think that, you know, they would think that they'd bring up something in the coffee shop. This one young lady once brought up this picture of me, and she's like, she threw me this picture at me that she drew, and she's like, and she just wanted approval. She said, yeah, this sucks. And that's what she said. She said, this sucks. And I'm like, what? That's what they always say. And I was like, you know, in my mind, I was like, you're right. I'm just saying. Listen, you know, not everybody's opinion is good. And that's why we don't go by opinions, praise the Lord. We seek God. It doesn't matter what you think. We just need to get over that. Do you know, I'm not just speaking to you. I'm speaking to me. It does not matter what I think. It doesn't matter. My opinion doesn't matter. Amen. When it comes to us and God, it does not matter what we think. Praise the Lord. And that's why, see, churches that are run by boards and churches that are run by vote, it's always opinion. And that's why they have all these issues. Amen? That's how we keep this church clean. We ain't going to run it by vote. Praise the Lord. We have to run it by the Holy Ghost. Now, there's oversight. Praise the Lord. Romans 3. Hallelujah. I'm not getting to the word very fast here. Romans 3. I love the book of Romans. Romans 3, verse 10. Look what's written here. As it is written, it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Praise the Lord. That's what the word says. It says that, you know, this is people in general. You understand? This is the way that people are in general. They don't seek after God. They seek after their own way. The world's way is full of self. It's full of about you. And if you just watch the news for a few minutes, it doesn't matter which news station you'll see that. That everybody is looking for self, self-preservation. Everything is about self. Me, 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 me. God says to seek after him. Put all that stuff down. You know what the amazing thing is? I have learned this about God as I've sought God and I've learned about things is I didn't even know me as good as I thought I did. I didn't. I thought I liked this or that, and then I found out after seeking God that I really didn't. Yeah. I had myself deceived thinking that I liked certain things. Yeah. And lived. I had actually built my life in my mind. I had built my life after these thoughts and desires, things that I thought that I wanted. Yeah. I thought I wanted it this way, or I thought I wanted it that way. And I got there and I found out that wasn't so. Yeah. And you know, the thing is I realized that what we do is we glamorize things. We over exalt things in our minds, things that we desire, things that we want. We make them this big deal. And then we find out at the end, it really wasn't that big of a deal. It really wasn't what was going to bless us. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You know, I've told you the hammock story before. I've told you all about the hammock. I waited years to get. And that I waited years before I could hang it. Do you know I haven't even hung it up this year? Yeah. Why? Because it wasn't the hammock that satisfied me. It's the Lord. Yeah. It's not that hammocks are wrong. It's not that stuff is wrong. But it wasn't those things that call to our flesh. Those aren't the things that are going to fulfill us. Right. A hammock is nice. There'll be a day I'll hang it up again. Maybe even this fall. Maybe I'll pull it out tomorrow. I don't know. Maybe I'll pull it out sometime. I haven't even really, it wasn't where I thought I was. This is why I haven't hung it up, because it wasn't where I thought it was. And so I just didn't feel like going to another building and looking for it. I'm just telling you the truth. Why? Because it's not that big a deal for me. For years, all I wanted was I wanted a four-wheeler so bad. It was like I thought about it constantly. It was just something I wanted. I wanted it since I was a little kid. I finally got one. Guess what? I think I've rode it twice, three times this summer. Maybe for a few minutes. I'm talking, you know, this thing that I spent time daydreaming about, riding through the woods and trails and stuff like that. I'm not saying that I won't ever do that, or that I can't enjoy it, or that it's wrong that I bought it. Well, what I'm saying is that the things that we put in our mind, at the forefront of our mind, this is what we need now, you're going to find when you get there, it's not going to satisfy you. Because we are designed to be satisfied by one thing, and that's our God. Praise the Lord. You know, my wife is a wonderful. I remember when I desired a wife, a good wife, and I was looking for her. I mean, it was all I could think of. Consumed me. And it's wonderful that I have my wife. But you know, there's times where we have to be apart. We don't get to talk. There's times where we don't get to spend 24 hours a day together. There's times where we get mad at each other, and maybe don't speak to each other for a few minutes. Do you know that? But how would that? I would have never thought that that would have been the case when I was seeking that out, because I found the most perfect woman that I could ever find. Yeah. I'm not saying that just to inflate her or to make y'all go aw or whatever. It's the truth. I love my wife. I love her more than I could ever imagined. But if my love for my wife, if our relationship was based on what I thought then, our life wouldn't have been that good. Because our relationship is based on so much more than that. Praise the Lord. I love how the Lord uses us together and has brought us together, and He'll use things in your life to bless you and to bless others. But I'm just telling you, when you get there, I remember when I thought, when we started the church, I was like, man, if we could just get in the storefront, because we were in a hotel, and that was weird. I didn't like preaching in a hotel. I didn't like going up and setting up everywhere. I didn't like it. I'm just telling you the truth. I didn't like it. It wasn't fun. And people, by and large, people that came in there, they didn't care about the labor. Again, we had a lot of people coming, but there wasn't people showing up early saying, hey, let me set up for you, Pastor. You take a few more minutes. That's not the way that it was. Right. Praise the Lord. We had people that helped us. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying the congregation we had didn't all do it. Praise the Lord. And so I was like, just when we get in a building, it'll be better. And praise the Lord, it was. And we finally get into a storefront. And then when we were in the storefront, all I could think about was getting into a building, praise the Lord. And then we get into a building, it's like, what's the next step? Well, it's getting the building finished. And now the building's getting close to being finished. It's like, well, probably another building. You know, these things come to us. These things, these desires, God has put these things on the inside of us. But if we allow those things to rule us, they'll never satisfy us. We'll never be satisfied. It's like the Bible says, it's like putting money into a bag with holes. It just put it in and it goes right back out. You see, when we're focused on the wrong thing, we won't be satisfied in life. And this is why people are kind of bumping around and not knowing. I know one thing is I'm not satisfied unless I seek the Lord. I am not satisfied. My life is not happy. My life is not blessed unless I'm seeking God. Because I've looked at the most blessed times of my life, and there are the times when maybe I didn't have as much money. There were times where I didn't have as much provision. There were times when, you know, I looked through the church and all these times where it looked like we weren't going to make it. Do you know there's been times in this church where I was like, I don't know how we're going to make it. The idea of getting into a building and paying a higher payment was beyond comprehension to me. Well, see, I don't think that way anymore because I realize how God works. Amen? He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You know, I'm taking us somewhere today, amen? I hope you're going there with me. Praise the Lord. Look at Isaiah 26:3 and what it says. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace. Now, you remember, it's not just him, it's hers too. Praise the Lord. The Bible, because of the time period it was written in a masculine masculine sense, but it means, like, you know, you'll keep humanity in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. And you can just answer that anyways. I don't know why I'm on this, but you can just answer it. Would God want women not to be in perfect peace? Wow. Right? I think he wants it. Dear Jesus, he can't keep a man in perfect peace if a woman ain't in perfect peace. I'm just here to tell you. Praise the Lord. If the man is going to be in perfect peace, then his woman need to be in perfect peace. Or there ain't going to be perfect peace nowhere. And the ladies say amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. You will keep him and her in perfect peace. Thank you, Jesus. Whose mind is stayed on the things that they're dealing with. Whose mind is searching for that next job. Whose mind is thinking about how they're going to pay the bills? Whose mind is thinking about how they're going to finish the house? Whose mind is thinking about how they're going to put the kids through school? Or whose mind is... No! You will keep him or her in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Amen. Why? Because they trust in you. What is Matthew 6:33 all about? It's about trusting in the Lord. It shall come to pass, God, because you said it. Because you said it, I trust you. That's where your peace is found. I want to tell you something. Your peace cannot be found except through the scripture right here. If your mind is not stayed on him, you're not going to have peace. You cannot have peace aside from God. It's an impossibility. There is no such thing as peace aside from God. Not true peace. Lasting peace. Peace that doesn't cause destruction in your body. You know what I mean? There was many times, again, when I was all hopped up on drugs that I thought I was at peace. But I wasn't at peace. And within a few hours, I knew exactly the fullness of that. Amen? You will keep him in perfect peace. That's the other thing. It's not just peace. It's perfect peace. Perfect peace doesn't have side effects. Perfect peace doesn't have hangovers. Perfect peace doesn't wake up the next day thinking, dear Jesus, what did I do? Yeah, I'm just telling you. Perfect peace. He will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Not, this is seeking God. How do you seek God? You see, you know, you're not going to physically look for God in the plant. You know, I'm not going to go physically, God back there. No, God isn't hiding on us. He doesn't say seek the Lord because he's hiding from us. It's seek him with who we are. You understand? It's putting him at the forefront of our thoughts and our desires and saying, that's what I want. Realizing that none of it matters without God. Because when you get there, if you get the family, you get the marriage, you get the house, you get the cars, none of it's going to matter. You know, if you ever get a chance, read through Ecclesiastes. It's not a really long book of the Bible. It's a book of the Bible I really love. But it was written by King Solomon. King Solomon had everything that you could imagine. The Bible tells us he was the richest man that ever existed. Praise the Lord. Material. And God made him rich because he sought God. Hallelujah. That's the truth. Amen? So if God's against that, well, he made King Solomon rich, so I don't know how he could be. But at any rate, so King Solomon, and what Ecclesiastes is, Ecclesiastes is written from the standpoint of a man who spent his life with all this stuff and all these things. He had like 700 wives or 300 wives and 700 concubines or something like that. I mean, this guy had everything that any man could possibly desire. Right or wrong, he had it, right? And Ecclesiastes is written from the standpoint of a man who's reflecting back on his life and saying, none of it mattered. When I got it all, it didn't matter. At the end of it all, it doesn't matter. Because when you're sitting there and you're at that point of recognizing what your life was, it's not going to matter how much money you made. It's not going to matter how many football games you went to. It's not going to matter how many trophies you won. It's not going to matter how many how many vacations you went on. It's not going to matter how many cars you drove. Hallelujah. Some of us drove a lot, and not because they were good. Praise the Lord. Bring that scripture back up for me, please. You know what I mean? None of that stuff is going to matter. Read through there and understand. That's exactly, he said, it's all grasping at wind. Grasping at something that you can't hold on to. Because it doesn't matter. 70 years, give or take a few. 80 years, give or take a few. 100 years, if you want to go good, amen? We'll just say you can be here for 100 years. It doesn't matter. You could go to 150 years and it's still nothing in eternity. And see, what truly is going to matter is what we were seeking through that life. See, if we want the true peace, the perfect peace that God talks about, it's only found one place, folks. It's found in Him. Because your mind is stayed on Him. Do you know how I don't live in depression anymore, but live in the peace of God? It's because I've learned how to do this. And not perfectly, but I've learned to do this. Because there's plenty of times when the devil comes to try to rob my peace. Yeah. Amen? There's plenty of times when the devil wants me not to be at church. There's plenty of times when he does that. Do you know how often he tries to stop me from getting into the things of God? Every turn. Amen? But what do? I seek after God. I keep my mind on God. I try to bring the focus back to Him. And as I've learned to do that, I've learned to live in peace. I've learned to live in that place. Amen? And sometimes if I don't do that, I'm fortunate to have and blessed to have a wonderful wife who will remind me of those things, who will point me back in this direction. That's why it's important who you marry. The Bible says, do not be unevenly yoked together with an unbeliever. Why? Because an unbeliever is just going to encourage your doubt and unbelief. Yeah. I'm not just talking about an unbeliever saying they don't believe in God. I'm talking about a person who don't believe the same way you do. You got to watch it. Amen? And if you're already married to someone like that, well, then you got to pray for them. And believe God to change that. Because I'm telling you, see, this is why God intended us to do things right. Because if we do it right, we wouldn't have married wrong. If we do it right, we wouldn't have kids in the wrong order. Amen. All these things. You know, God wants us blessed. Amen. He will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. Praise the Lord. Because we trust in Him. Turn with me to Isaiah. That's Isaiah. But we're going to go to Isaiah 55. Praise God. Hallelujah. Love the Lord. Love the Word. Subject interpretation, my butt. Hallelujah. How are you going to look at how you keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed in Him? Interpret that. Interpret that differently. Seriously, interpret that differently. You know, the main points of the bulk of what the Word talks about is very direct. It doesn't even need studying. You look at it, and if you can read, you can understand it. Yeah, that's not hard. Amen. Praise the Lord. 55:6, Isaiah 55:6. Glory to God. You all know I love you, right? Praise the Lord. I love this church. I love this company. I love being here. I love being around y'all. I love what God is doing here. I love what God is doing in us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Also, that's 56:6. That's read something totally different than 55:6. Praise the Lord. Don't go to 56:6. Go to 55:6. Seek the Lord while He may be found. That's really interesting, isn't it? Seek the Lord while He may be found. That gives us an idea that there's a time and place where we can find God. That there's a time and place where we can walk into that plan of God. Do you know that that's the truth? That God will call to us and we can sense the call, but there's a time and place where that will end. There's a time and place to do what's right, and there's a time and place where that option won't be there for you anymore. Yeah, you might get partially blessed, but you won't walk in the fullness of what God has for you. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Amen? It matters when we call upon Him, while He is near. See, God is wanting to do things in us. And there, like I said, there's a time and place for everything. The Bible tells us again in Ecclesiastes that there's a season to everything under heaven. Amen? There's a time and a season for everything. There's times where there'll be building, and there's times when there'll be destruction. There's times when there'll be war. There's times when there'll be peace. There's a season for everything. There's a season for harvest. Amen? Amen. Reverend Greer has talked about that a lot this year. He said, this is a year of harvest. Well, guess what? If you don't harvest in that year of harvest, then your harvest is going to lay on the ground and rot. But you ain't going to do it if you're not seeking God. See, there's a lot of people that this year, I dare say we're in the eighth month of this year, there's a lot of people that haven't even sought God this year. There might be people in this church that haven't even truly sought God this year. And they're not going to harvest what God has had for them this year. I said they won't harvest it. The time is short. God, Jesus has a work for us to get done. There are people that we need to help get into heaven. There's things that we need to do. And it's not going to happen if we're not seeking God. Amen. There's a time and place for it. Praise the Lord. Let the wicked forsake his way. You know, the wicked doesn't just mean something evil in the sense of, it's like a, like a demon or something like that. A wicked is anything that's opposite of God. Anything that goes against what God says, that's wicked. That's what God calls wicked. Let the wicked forsake his way. Praise the Lord. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts. Remember, righteousness means thinking like God. So an unrighteous man needs to forsake his thoughts. Amen. An unrighteous woman needs to forsake their thoughts. Praise the Lord. Listen, women, if you want the peace, you got to also, do what the word says here too, because it says him here too. Praise the Lord. Let him return to the Lord, and he, the Lord, will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Amen? That's exactly what Reverend Greer was talking about when I was sharing you about his pardon. They say he might get a pardon, but not a full pardon. No, God abundantly pardons. Amen? That's our God. Amen? But you need to seek him while he's here. It's important to seek God. Amen? Praise the Lord. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Oh, Jesus. I'm not talking about mine. I'm reading the scripture here. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. His thoughts aren't our thoughts. Your opinion don't matter. What you conjured up in your mind, which you desire, it don't matter. Why? Because his thoughts aren't your thoughts. His ways aren't your ways. You can try to see what so many people are doing, and they still do this. Even though they're getting taught the word. So many people are trying to bring God into their life and have him operate according to their life and their schedule and their desires and their things. But God says, my thoughts are, he said, forsake you. Let the wicked forsake the wicked. That's wicked. It's wicked to try to bring God in and say, Lord, I want you to bless me where I'm at doing what I want to do. It's wicked, and it isn't going to happen. But the body of Christ is so plagued by people who are just seeking their way. Yeah. Praise the Lord. They will reject the word of God. We may have people in this church that reject things like the speaking in other tongues. God said that's his way. Yeah. It's his way. Yeah. The Bible says it's his way. If you reject it, you're acting wicked. Yeah. How are you going to be in the peace of God when you don't seek him? Just because you're afraid of it or it's something you don't know, who cares? The Bible says it. If you know enough of the Bible to get you in here every week, then you should know enough of the Bible to know that when it's preached, you should trust it. Amen? It's as we trust it that God fills us. But he can't fill you. You can't be fully blessed rejecting the word of God. You can't say, well, I'm going to go part way with God, but not all the way. He's not a fence-sitting God. He'll kick your butt off the fence. Hallelujah. God didn't want you sitting on the fence. You can't sit on the fence for long. You will be pushed one way or the other, and God won't even have to do it, because I'll tell you, the devil comes to eat your lunch, and if you're a sitter, that's exactly what he's going to do. He's going to eat your lunch, and he's going to knock you off that fence, and because you didn't jump all the way in with God, you're not going to have what he wants. God has given us the victory. He's given us the way. We decide whether we walk in it. Praise the Lord. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. And Pastor Jeff, of a paraphrased version of this, your opinion does not matter. It doesn't. It just doesn't. My opinion doesn't matter. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, I've had people do that to me. Other people in other churches come to me and they're asking about somebody else before and they're like, oh, what do you think about this? Like, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what I think. Because either God told him to do it or he didn't. And if he did, it's good. And if he did tell him to do it, it's good. If he didn't tell him to do it, then it's not good. But either way, my opinion doesn't matter on it. Praise the Lord. All that matters is what the word says. For as the heavens are high, this is why, praise the Lord, religion. This is why we have so many different religions. Because men like their opinions. Women like their opinions. Yeah. You're not excluding this, ladies. Women and men, they like their opinions. They like to think what they like to think. They're like, you know, I love this because in dealing with some things in life, I've had to deal with courts and different stuff. Praise the Lord. For different aspects of my life, I've been in the court system. Amen. And the one thing that I learned about the court system is very interesting. What you think isn't necessarily the way it is. You would think, well, this is common sense, this makes sense, this is the way it should be, and you get before a lawyer or a judge and they tell you, it's not the way it is. It doesn't work that way. You get to in front of a police officer. I have people in my family, they're police officers, and I'm always amazed when I present something to them, a question about something, and like, it doesn't matter. That's not the way that it is. Listen, we need to know the way that it is. No, just having your opinion isn't going to get you there if it doesn't help you. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Well, why do we need to speak in tongues? Doesn't matter. His ways are higher than our ways. Because he said it helps. He said that's where the power is attached. Why do we need to go to church? It doesn't matter. His ways are our ways, aren't our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. That's why you need to go. Why do you need a pastor? It doesn't matter. Why do we need the supernatural? Well, that's easy to answer, but, you know, how does it work? It doesn't matter how it works. His ways are higher than our ways. Probably if he told us, we couldn't understand it anyways. You know, that's where we're at. Like, you ever, I remember this one time we had this guy in the family church. His name is Matt. I didn't, but other people called him Math because that's the way he thought. He was this really intelligent guy. And he worked at this factory, and he was an engineer. And he asked me one day, he says, hey, he's like, you want to go get a tour of the factory? And I was like, yeah. He's like, I got to go down there. He said, you want a tour of the factory? I said, oh, yeah, I love that. I always love getting a tour of anything pretty much. Praise the Lord. You could say, hey, I want a tour of my shed. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, you know. I just like to tour things. I don't know why. You know, that's the way I am. So anyways, we go down there, and we go to his office. And he's got this big whiteboard, you know, dry erase board on next to his desk there. And on it, there's this really long formula written on it. And I'm looking at that, kind of pondering, and I'm thinking, that's pretty interesting. I said, what's that all about? And so he starts telling me. About 5 minutes into him telling me, I started chuckling. And I started laughing. And he's just kind of looking at me weird while he's laughing. I never told him why. The reason I was laughing is because I didn't have a stinking clue what he's been saying to me for the last 5 minutes. Whatever it is works for whatever it was for, I'm sure. They paid him to know that. It didn't mean anything to me. See, but that's the way we're trying to figure out God all the time. God can't. We don't need to figure out God. Listen, his ways are higher than our ways. What does that mean? He's up here, we're down here. He's saying, go this way, this way, this way, and this way. And you say, like, why, God? Why would I do that? Because if I go, because he's looking down on it, and you're looking at it from this point of view. See, you don't see all the stuff that's coming up. That's the way God's word works. That's the way God works. Is he wants to direct us into the right path, and he knows the ways. He knows how to bypass things that you don't know how to bypass. He knows how to get over. Listen, you need a good lawyer. God's a good lawyer. Praise the Lord. If you need to get through to the other side, God's a way to get there. His ways are higher than our ways. We don't need to know how. Stop trying to figure out things you don't need to know. Like I said, even if he explained it to you, you'd probably just be dumbfounded just like I was. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. My thoughts and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, time is ticking away. Praise the Lord. Psalm 63. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love the Word of God. It sets us. Have you ever noticed how it's interesting how we can hop back and forth throughout the Scripture and we can have a message that makes sense? Yeah. Amen. We see here in just a few Scriptures, and this isn't even barely touching them, about seeking God and why it's important to seek God. Yeah. Amen? Truly seeking God. I don't mean, you know, just truly seeking God. Again, it isn't about church. It isn't about religion. It's about having a relationship. It's about knowing your heavenly Father. Right. Praise the Lord. What did I say? Psalm 63:1. Praise God. Hallelujah. Psalm 63:1. We'll read through verse 11. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. This is really interesting because this psalm was, this is when he was running from King Saul. David had been called to be king, but he wasn't king, and he's running from King Saul. King Saul is trying to kill him, so he's in the wilderness. When the Bible uses wilderness, it's always kind of a way of looking at, you know, like if you're in a place in your life that isn't where you want to be. You know, maybe you know where you're going, but you're in a place. It's kind of like if you're, you know, you're in school to be a doctor. You know what I mean? Like the end goal is to be a doctor, but all those years in between, that's the wilderness. That's where you pay the price. That's where you're doing things that are hard, and you don't have, you know, listen, most people know that doctors have money, generally speaking, you know what I mean? You know, surgeons and stuff like that, that they make decent paycheck. You know what I mean? But when they're in school, a lot of them are poor, dirt poor, and don't have anything. You know, there's people that come from other countries and they go through school and they're dirt poor. They have nothing. But when they become doctors and they're driving, you know, Lamborghinis and stuff like that, you understand? That's just the way it is sometimes. But you understand? So it's wilderness season. And that's kind of what David was in. David was in this wilderness place. But look at his reaction about how he was when he was in the wilderness. And that's what this psalm is about. So this was written by David. This is what he was saying in that place of being like lost, kind of in that place of not having enough, in that place of not being fully supplied. You understand? Praise the Lord. It says, "O God, you are my God. Early I will seek you." Man, this scripture convicted me. What do I do when I first wake up in the morning? Praise the Lord. Sometimes when I first wake up, I pull up a news article. Sometimes when I first wake up, I pull up a video. Or sometimes when I first wake up, I pull up social media or something like that. You all there with me? I know. Listen, I'm not a fool. Why? Because you didn't get up that much earlier than I did. And if I get on there and see you on there, then you know that you're there too. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you know what I'm saying, you know, this scripture convicted me. Early I will seek you. Where are our thoughts first thing in the day? Are they on God? Do we start the day off with our Lord, or do we start the day off with the snarf that Fox News or CNN or whatever other garbage news outlet is telling you? You know what I'm saying? Are we starting it with what everybody is, you know, yelling about? Are we spending time with God? Look how David, this is David in the wilderness. See, a lot of people, they're in the wilderness, and they're seeking things that aren't helping them. You understand what I mean? It's not bad to have a life. I'm not saying that. It's not bad to use these things. But when that is our life, and we push God to the side, then we wonder where God is. Yeah. Oh God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. It's being kind of poetic, but he's explaining. He just desires more of God. Are we there? So, even so, I have looked for you in the sanctuary. Oh, praise the Lord. To see your power and your glory. Where? In the sanctuary. In the sanctuary of God. Listen, you're there today. Congratulations, you got to start the day off right. Amen? You got to start your week off early in the week. I'll start it off with God. Praise the Lord. You'll be blessed. You'll be blessed because if you take this with you the rest of the week, man, it's going to change your week. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because we will see his power and his glory. Because of your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. He's in the wilderness. What's he talking about? Because God is so good, he's going to praise him in the wilderness. Because God is so good, he's going to praise him in the wilderness. When he's without, when he's lacking, when it doesn't look like he's going to make it through, when the last place you feel like praising God, when you wake up in the morning and you just don't know how you're going to make it through this day, the last place in the wilderness, the last place you feel like praising God, and he praises God. Why? Because he knows what works. He knows his God. Because he sought his God. See, when you seek God, this is what I love about our Lord. When you seek God, I'm just going to be honest with you. Can I be open with you about something? So recently, there's been a severe spiritual attack on my life, trying to get me to quit, trying to keep me from going forward. I mean severe, to the point where it was so bad where I literally was in my flesh, I was feeling like I'm gonna quit. That's how heavy it was. But as I, of course, I continue with God and I keep pressing through, and I have a good wife that stands beside me and stands with me. As we continue going through this, You know, I continually see God, and He keeps showing me things through His Word. He keeps bringing something up. And just last night, I got done preaching, and I know I preached the message just the way I was supposed to. The boldness of God was there, but the devil was on me. He was after me hard. And he was throwing it upon me. And I was up, I mean, at 2:30 in the morning, I'm still awake. I'm tossing and turning in bed just under the pressure of the attack. You understand, sometimes it's a wilderness. That's the way it feels sometimes. Listen, just because I'm a pastor, I'm not exempt from it. The difference is if I don't fulfill my call, then the Bible says, the Bible tells us that if the shepherd is, if you smite the shepherd, the sheep are scattered.
Yeah.
What happens to the fruit? Dissipates, it goes. Praise the Lord. And so the devil is always after pastors. And so the pressure was there, pressure was there, pressure was there. And the Lord was just reminding me, He was showing me things in the middle of the night. Just think, and I'm not talking about pressure because finances or pressure. I'm just talking about pressure, spiritual pressure, because I'm following God and because we're being effective in things. And because He wants to rob from all you, the devil does. And so the Lord is just revealing things to me, and He's giving me scriptures. And I'm not saying it's constant, but I seek God. I'm constantly turning myself. I have to. The only option I had is to turn myself back to God and look to Him and say, Lord, I believe, I trust in You.
Yeah.
To bring that praise out is not always an easy thing to do, but it's what we have to do if we want to see the other side.
Right.
Listen, the devil, the attacks are real. There is going to be opposition that is going to try to rob from you in your life. But you decide whether or not you're going through. You decide whether or not you're going to press through. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise. I'm just telling you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Where are we at? Psalm 63:3. Because Your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise You. That's why I love people that don't like our churches. It's like Christians that get mad at things like because we praise out loud. You praise Him in the wilderness. Well, if you praise Him in the wilderness, it's probably ain't a bad thing to praise Him in church either. You know what I'm saying? Listen, the problem is people don't want to praise. But it doesn't matter what you want. Your opinion doesn't matter. Praise Him anyways, because that's what He said to do. And He said when you praise Him, that's when you'll get through. That's when you'll go to the other side. That's when things will help you, when you praise God. So what do you need to do? Praise God. When you don't feel good, what do you need to do? Praise God. When you don't go through, you don't think you can make it and go to the other side, what do? Praise God. When you don't think you can get up and do it one more day, what do? Praise God. Just don't feel like you can when you're just tired of it all, when you just want to quit.
Praise
God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Why? Praising God takes our focus off of us and puts it on Him. Praising God makes you stop looking at your trial and focus on Him. By praising Him, what He knows that has happened is you're taking yourself and you're taking your mind, your problems. Great peace has He whose mind is stayed on you. You will keep Him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because He trusts in you. That's what praise does. It brings you back around, helps you seek God. We need to be seeking God, and not just seeking God just because we want to get through it, but just seeking God because we know He's good. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're still in 3. Is that where we are? Yeah, we're still in 3. How come we can't get past 3? Man, the time is gone. What the hell? Who's messing? Bob, leave that clock alone. Thus I will bless You while I live. I will lift up my hands in Your name. Why do they lift up their hands? Because the Bible says so. Well, my church doesn't. Well, your church doesn't follow the Bible then. Yeah. I'm just going to tell you. Well, next time somebody, I don't like that church because they praise God. Well, your church doesn't like the Bible then either. Your church wouldn't like heaven very much because what they're doing up there is praising God constantly. Hallelujah. Stop being one of those stiff-necked Christians that can't they'll never receive anything from God.
Yeah.
It's your fault. It's not God's fault. His Word told us the truth. Can I say that in church? Apparently, I can't say that in church. But I just did. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Do you see what's happening as he's going on? As you start praising God, you keep praising God and you praise him more, and then more rolls out, and then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, wait, this feels good, this feels a little bit better, I'm just going to stay in this flow. And so you keep praising God and praising God and praising God, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, you're not even thinking about the devil anymore. Who's the devil? I don't know who the devil is. I'm just focused on God. Hallelujah. And if you're not focused on the devil, you're not focused on what he's bringing you. And God ain't bringing you bad things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. That's what I was doing last night. Because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. That's your mind. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. No weapon formed against you can stand. Hallelujah. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for the jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. Hallelujah. A lot of people start seeking God once the trouble starts. We need to be in God continually. And avoid the trouble altogether. Let's just bypass the trouble. Let's just bypass the ruin. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. I'm going to end with this scripture. And this is that God is, these two scriptures, God is keeps bringing up to me in seeking him. Matthew 7:7. Just go ahead and look at it up here. And 7:8. Look what it says. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. God wants to get us through. He wants to get you through to the other side more than you want to get through to the other side. Because it speaks about his good name. It glorifies him when people win in God's name. And that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to be people that go through the other side. You're going to go there too. Just keep seeking God. Keep your heart at God. Keep a heart tender towards God. Just go before the Lord. As you think about it, go before the Lord and say, Lord, how can I bless you today? What can I do today? And just help me to be more in your line with your, you know, say any of these things. Be more in line with your will and in your ways. And I'm going to tell you something. God will, he will meet you in ways that you've never understood, that you've never imagined. And God will take you to places that you never could have gone by yourself. That's our Lord. He's just that good. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for this time together. I thank you, Lord, that you are good, that you bless us, that you have good plans, good purposes for us. And Father, I thank you for I thank you, Lord, because there was a time I struggled with religion. There was a time when I got sucked into a bunch of different thought processes and things that were wrong. But I thank you, Lord, that you set me free according to your word, because it's the word of God that sets people free. See, you can stumble at what man says, or you can be uplifted and upheld by what God said. That's what it ultimately comes down to. So follow God or follow man, but you'll have the fruit of either one. Praise the Lord. And you know, when I say religion, I'm not just talking about religions as far as godly religions, but it has anything to do, anything that you exalt above God. When you follow those things, you're left without. But we, Lord, we want to be those who follow you, who walk in your ways, walk in your will, walk in the things that you have for your people. And Father, we want to glory in your presence. We want to bask in the light of your Son, Lord, in the things that he's done. We want to be filled by your Spirit, God, filled to overflowing. So there's no room for anything else. And we know, Lord, according to Psalm 37, that you said you give us the desires of our hearts. But Lord, we sacrifice them and lay them at your feet. In the sense of saying, Lord, that all we want is you. We want more of you. And Father, I know that we'll have it. I know that we'll have it. Praise the Lord. We'll have it in Jesus' name. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. You know, the most important thing you can do, the Bible says that, you know, that without Jesus, that none of this is possible. But the Bible says that with Jesus, all things are possible. You know, and Jesus is the ultimate. He is the way, the Bible says, the truth and the life. And nobody gets to the Father without him. In Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. But there's two parts to that. There's the confession, what you say, and then there's the belief in your heart. There's the faith that God is who he said he is, that Jesus is and did what he said he did, and he will save you. Salvation does not come by works. It does not come by doing enough good. It only comes by the confession and the belief in Jesus Christ. You need to ask yourself, if I were to die today, do I know I would go to heaven? And if the answer to that question is no, then you need to know. And the way to know is by receiving Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Jesus told, he told a man, Nicodemus, he told him that you must be born again. That is the way. You must be born again. You must receive Jesus and have that new life come on the inside of you. And so if that's you, if you've never received Jesus and you'd like to today, all heads are bowed, all eyes are closed, nobody's looking around at you. But we're going to give you an opportunity. And the way we're going to do this is just, I'm just going to have you raise your hand. And then when I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then we're all going to pray a prayer together. I'm not going to call you up front. It doesn't mean you're joining this church. It just says, Jesus, I want you. I want what the Bible says. I want you. I believe in you. And I'm going to trust in you. And I want you to come in and set my life new. So if that's you, if you've never received Jesus and you'd like to today, just go ahead and raise your hand real quick. And I'll have you put it right back down. I thank you. I see that hand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do we have any other hands? Don't gamble with eternity. Know that you have the security that you're going to heaven, that you spend it with Jesus. Praise the Lord. Any other hands? I'm going to give one more opportunity. Maybe you've received Jesus and you walked away from him. And I don't mean you made a few mistakes. Listen, we all make mistakes in life. None of us are going to live this life perfectly. But you walk completely away from him. And today's day, you're saying, you know what? I want to come back to him. He's there at the door waiting for you to come back to him. So if that's you, the same thing. Just go ahead and raise your hand real quick and we'll pray for you as well. Thank you. I see that hand. You put it down. Thank you. I see that hand. You put it down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God is just so good. Praise you, Lord. Well, if you raise your hand for either of them, the prayer is the same, really, because it's all just about recognizing who God is and Jesus is. And so I just ask the congregation here with me to just pray this prayer with me. And if you raise your hand, pray this prayer out of your heart. And I want you to understand something about God. God isn't mad at you. He's excited as any father is. You remember the story. There's a story in the Bible of the prodigal son, the son that went away and lived a bad life. But when he came back, the father threw a party. You know, Jesus gave us that as an example for us to understand how God is. God is excited for you today. He's excited for you today. So as we pray this prayer together, just know this. God ain't mad at you. And he's taking you back in. And it starts today. It starts new today. Praise the Lord. So, and if you didn't raise your hand, but you felt that you needed to, I just want you to know, you just pray this prayer and mean it. And it's not the raising of your hand that does it. It's the prayer of faith that does it. So let's pray this prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus, that he died for me so I could live for you. Wash me with his blood. Cleanse me from my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Well, we made it through another one. Thank God for you. I praise the Lord for you. I can't tell you how much you all mean to me. I love you with all my heart. God's doing great things here. He's doing great things in you. And I know that we're going to see wonderful, amazing miracles in Mayville. Praise the Lord and beyond.